Welcome, everyone, to a Delco Nerd Network Rewind Review, where we sit down and talk about some of our favorite film franchises of the past. On this series, we're talking about Marvel's First Family, of course, all centered around the Fantastic Four. Continuing on today with Fantastic Four 2015, or as it's lovingly referred to as, Fant-Four-Stick. Joining me, as always, is Mr. Anthony the Gooch Ragucci. Gooch, you look fantastic.
Say that again?
You look fantastic.
That's what I thought you said. Yeah. That's not what he says in the movie. But.
No, that's what he said.
He goes, guys, I have an idea.
Oh, right. It's so funny. I forgot that whole entire end part of the scene even existed. I thought it literally cuts after he says, what did you say?
Like, I knew like they were at like some sort of base, but it's in like the middle of Central City. What does that mean?
I got that area. Oh, wow. This is crazy. I got that area over there. I call that area, that blanket area over there.
They make it seem like it's supposed to be this like reveal, but I'm like, Central City?
Like, what is that?
In terms of like Marvel? What is that?
I don't know. It was very confusing. I really don't understand what they were trying to do. But let's get into the production details, Gooch. Initially released August 7th, of 2015 with a production budget of, what do you think? So there's a bit of a range here. There's a bit of consternation. Okay.
$200 million.
Whoa. Okay. You're going up there. Now, it was close. Actually, you're not like terribly far off. $120 to $150 million. So there's a wide range.
Compared to my last few guesses.
I will give you that. That's true. But, you know, between the reshoots and all that stuff, which this did have extensive ones, it said, yeah, around 155 is what's estimated.
Yeah, you know, you said that. And besides Kate Mara's wig and hair inconsistencies once she gets her powers, I couldn't tell you what was a reshot.
There's some weird stuff with Miles Teller's beard in one scene where
he
doesn't
has a beard
have it
when he runs away.
Yeah,
and then he loses it when he comes back. But I'm like, that makes sense. He just
But there's also like I think within that scene, it's like it's there and it's not or something like that. But also the most wispy weird beard ever. Like, just don't try and.
I mean, it's kind of like Sprawl. Yeah, it's kind of like our table legs sometimes need to be adjusted. We just got to sprawl them. Yeah. He's young. Would you say, Trio, you know, people were saying back in 2015 that I looked like that version of Miles Teller.
Maybe, sort of, for sure. Yeah, yeah. I mean, he was like
not 20. Not anymore.
He was 27, I think, or so at the time of
he
filming this.
He looks so different.
He looks so young. He does.
He's very baby-faced still.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, like, when you see him in Maverick, he's jacked.
I mean, that is something I noticed off the bat with this film. Right, yeah. Just how young they are. But yeah. Had an opening weekend of about 25 million smackaroons. I was trying to think of a fun word.
Wow, that's not good.
No, it's really not. A worldwide box office of 167 million. Most of that was from international. I think it was like 125,000 international, like 40 something.
So me and US. You must have seen this together. I talked to Penza and he's like, I didn't see that with you. And I'm like, you're positive. And he's like, yeah. So it must have been you and me.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I don't remember it being you.
The memory does not exist in my mind of seeing this the first
actually,
time.
Actually, I know we saw it at Edgemont in Theater 5.
Right.
Like the big theater.
Really?
Or the second biggest theater. Yeah.
I really have little to no recollection of seeing this movie in the theaters.
We see a lot of movies together.
Yeah, so it kind of blends
one
together.
One of them has to blend in.
directed, of course, by Josh Trank. Written, or the screenplay by Josh Trank, Simon Kinberg, and Jeremy Slater. Hit you with a little description here, Gooch. Four young outsiders teleport to an alternate and dangerous universe which alters their physical form in shocking ways. The four must learn to harness their new abilities and work together to save Earth from a former friend turned enemy.
Okay, sure. Four outcasts? I don't know if they're all outcasts. Sue doesn't seem like an outcast.
I was going to say, she's the only adopted one I wouldn't say is maybe Sue, technically. Like, she seems like she fits in with whatever she's trying to do, but they definitely, I feel like, try to lean into the outcast of it all. Like, Reed's a freak.
Especially with Reed.
Everyone's calling Reed an idiot and a freak.
I don't
like,
know
idiot.
If that's, like, canon to his origin, that he has, like, a poor upbringing like that. I really didn't jive with that part.
So,
I felt like it really focused too much on it. It's like, okay, like, I don't know. Like, it seemed, not that it's irrelevant, but it just doesn't seem right with the character.
It felt like this was almost like a young adult, like, novel attempt at the Fantastic Four. Do you know what I mean?
But I didn't.
Not
I didn't,
that bad, but
yeah,
like.
I don't mind, like, the teenage aspect of the characters. Like, I think that kind of works. And honestly, the beginning, like, 40 minutes to an hour, I think, of this movie are really good.
I wouldn't disagree.
I love the buildup. You know, we get, okay, it's Reed. He's a nerd. We kind of get his upbringing. He's really smart at a young age. You know, his introduction to Ben, Ben's upbringing, how they connect. Then they grow up together, and then they connect with Sue Storm, Franklin Storm, Johnny Storm, Victor Von Doom. Like it's a nice gradual introduction of all the characters. And we, you know, compared to Fantastic Four from 2005, we don't get any of that. We're kind of thrown in, and they have their powers within 20 minutes. This is a slow buildup, and I think it's a relatively good buildup. Like, it's very different in how they get their powers, but like, I kind of like it, but young adult is a good way to phrase it.
You know what I mean? Like, that's, it just feels like that's almost the way, the angle that they were taking. And I know Josh Trank wanted to bring them back to their teenage years for this. And there actually is precedent for that in the comics. I didn't realize this is like very heavily influenced by a certain run, which I'll get into in fun facts.
But, and I want to throw it over to you, because we didn't give our general thoughts.
Yeah.
This movie falls apart so fucking hard. It's not even funny.
Right.
Like it. I'm like, and Leo, I'm talking to our Discord. You can join that in the description. And I'm like, yeah, this is pretty good. I'm like, I'm kind of liking this. I'm like, the characterizations are pretty good. Like, I'm not minding it. And then like even their powers and like how they display them. And I love like Johnny Storm's like, Art Deco statue looking face.
Yeah.
And like the way he like it glow, his eyes glow and the way it looks, I kind of jive with. And like I think you mentioned about like the fly aspect of it, and like the way they get their powers seems so grotesque and horrendous. Yeah. Like, you know, the fire and the rocks and that's all cool. But then Reed escapes and the whole film like falls apart in that last 40 minutes. But, you know, this is our second rewatch for both of us. Yeah. I think.
Yeah, no, I can't. I probably have seen pieces of this again before, but never watched the whole thing.
What did you think coming back to it after 10 years?
Yeah. You know, overall, I think I tend to agree with what you put out there for the most part, Gooch. I think the beginning of this is really strong. I think it sets up most of their relationships pretty well. I think Ben gets the most shortchanged out of all of them. Maybe in Sue.
I think Johnny.
Johnny, honestly, to a degree, too,
like,
yeah.
He, why is he there? Oh, I got in trouble for, like, drag racing.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I guess he's, like, a mechanical engineer.
Right, yeah, he's, like, an engineer, so he can help build things.
And even Ben, like, Ben is what, exactly?
He
like,
seems to be the muscles.
The help?
Yeah, like,
you know?
He was the guy there to protect, you know, Reed when they were younger, and they're best buddies, and he was there with him the whole time. So I like that aspect, and I actually like the way they met and everything. I did not... Why is
it's
so,
clobbering time?
Yeah, like, oh, that's where we're getting it's clobbering time from when his brother beats him. Like, come on, I don't know. There are certain weird choices like that that do feel very at odds with what they're trying to do. And, you know, I see what Trank was trying to do here. Yeah, he was trying to do like a weird Cronenberg, almost body horror, scary movie to a degree with superheroes using the Fantastic Four. And you can tell they just didn't want to fully commit. Because there's a bit of it, especially when they first wake up with their powers and he's crawling through the rooms. And like you said, Ben's like stuck in the rocks. And that moment with Johnny where he goes like supernova for a sec is pretty interesting. And like the terror on his father's face. And like, what are we going to do with our kids? Sue, you don't really see that much with. Like, she just kind of turns invisible. So it's like,
right,
she's fine.
She's phasing
yeah.
it out.
Maybe
yeah.
you could do something more with that. And I'm sure Trank probably thought of that. But I know the studio.
No naked funny scenes.
No. Not that we didn't see Sue Storm naked. But, you know, you can tell that the studio did not like where this was going and that they just reined it in a bit on certain aspects that I wish they let into.
It does not feel like a Fantastic Four movie. It feels like, again, like we're taking inspiration from the Fantastic Four, but we're doing our own thing.
They're leaning,
like,
yeah.
It's not even grounded. It's just kind of...
It's like grimy.
Know. Different.
Yeah, it's grimy and dark and weird, and I don't really like their suits at all either.
The suits
Reed's
are
weird,
strange.
Like bungee cords holding. Like, I guess the idea is the suits like holding him together when, like, it has all these like bungee cords stripped through
it's interesting.
And rings and stuff. And then I guess Doom at the end like breaks it all off him, and that's why he falls apart. I'm like, oh, that's kind of interesting. Again, I would maybe like to see more of that, but I will admit, overall, the powers in general and the CGI for me looked worse than the 2005
dude, Doom
version.
Is animal, vegetable, mineral man over
it's
here.
So weird. It's like he's
what
like this.
Is he? He's it almost kind of feels like you gotta watch Akira, but he kind of feels like Tetsuo from Akira. Like he gets these powers and he just starts kind of killing people.
like all of a sudden.
Again, in theory, I like it. I like his like suit like fuses to him because of a terrible accident that happens to him in the negative zone or whatever. But it just
what is Planet X?
So it's in the comics. It's Daniel called the Negative Stern. Zone. I'll get
Tim Lee Roth or whatever the fuck.
Yeah,
that who's that actor?
I can't remember his name.
I'll Google it.
That was originated in like 2004 in the run that this was based off of. The Negative Zone, I believe it's called. It's just an alternate universe, and that is how they get their powers
Blake
within
Nelson.
That. Tim Blake Nelson.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I like that idea of him, like, having this awful accident. And, yeah, he comes back this terrible, awful-looking, like, metal man. But the design was just so weird. His face was weird and smooth. But it was almost, like, translucent. And you could see, like, the electronics below the shell of his skin. And they tried to model it off of the Doom face. But it just looks so bad. I kind of like the idea of his powers. He has these weird, like, brain-exploding, like, scanner powers. That's cool to me. And that... scene feels
not magic though.
No, not magic again. It's Technopath, and I think that's again more originated within this comic book.
Very Akira. Yeah. Now that I think about it, even you know when I made that comment earlier, but now that I think about it, yeah, it is very Akira. With
like a simulation. Yeah, he like assimilates.
You
with
really got to check that.
No,
movie
I know
out.
That's
it,
I know
that, it's, that is like. Yeah, I don't know how we would do a rewind review for that. We're just going to watch Akira.
I was going to say, I'd probably just watch it for the... Have you seen it? You've seen it fully.
It's very good.
I would love to actually watch it all the way through.
It's a masterclass in animation.
And I've seen I've seen the slide 1,000 times in every different piece of media. Right. But besides that, even...
Leave me alone!
Right, yeah, yeah. It's
now I'll never watch it.
Akira.
But, yeah, I just don't get the way that they approach Doom. And they're like, yeah, he's this weird kind of grimy hacker dude that's like, he's from Latveria. By the way, they changed his name for this. It was originally when they shot it all the way through, Victor Domashev. And that's why there's one part where the guy says it in the meeting. He's like, Victor Von Doom. It's an obviously like...
Our ADR.
ADR scene, and they never say it again.
Yeah, like... So Doom is like older than the rest of them, it seems.
Slightly. I think he's still around
like
the same age.
5 to 6 years older.
I think he might be their age because he just got kicked out of the program. And he's like this weird grimy hacker man that lives in a dark dank apartment.
Yeah, and he's playing Assassin's Creed Syndicate.
I thought it was Unity at first, but then you pointed out, I was like, oh, it is supposed to be Syndicate.
Yeah. It's funny because it's like you know why I knew it? Because the way he was hitting that big guy.
Oh, yeah. I knew it right from the bat. Yeah, I was like, this is Assassin's Creed.
Yeah,
whatever
and then
it is.
You see he's like, he finishes a stronghold and like...
He pulls up the menu too at one point, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's pretty funny. I'm like, wow, what a 2015.
But yeah, I don't know. I think maybe in a better movie that finishes off in a more interesting way, that setup works. And again, I do think most of the setup works in that first half an hour. Those interpersonal moments and those character moments. But then it just goes off into a superhero movie and it just feels so at odds with itself. And Gooch, I forgot this had a big blue sky beam. This was one of the movies.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, I totally forgot.
Trash beam.
It is insane how many of these fucking trash beams. We just talked about one in fucking Man of Steel. Like, what was happening back then? Anyways, yeah, and then Doom comes back, and he's like, I'm going to destroy the Earth because the Earth sucks. You couldn't leave the negative zone alone.
The planet Zero is like his planet now. I'm like, you've been there like a year. Like,
he's been sustained by... Like, I like that idea that he like survives by way of the planet mutates him.
I like it, but it's not Dr. Doom.
I agree, especially in the classic. Like, and again, I think a lot of this Fantastic Four setup is not the classical Fantastic Four that we know, for sure. And it's a large departure, and... Again, in a movie that stuck the landing a bit more, I think we wouldn't have been as, like, perturbed, which, you know, it starts to and then just goes off the cliff. It turns into the CGI mess where they're just trying to stop a trash beam.
Were they just thinking, like, what were they going to do with this?
So I know he wanted to lean much more into the horror elements. I know he wanted it to be much darker even than it was.
I mean, like, from a sequel perspective.
Oh, I don't know. I really didn't see much in the way of that because it was such a disastrous launch from the beginning. Like, it did so poorly off the bat that they were like, we're not even going to attempt this.
I remember, like, Josh Trank, like, he, like, disowned the movie,
yeah,
right?
There's a whole thing about his tweet. I'll get into that near the fun facts at the end.
Okay.
And there was a whole, you know, different script idea that he had set up for this that he just couldn't get through because it would have cost a lot more money. And I'll get more into that here, too, also. But... It's just tough because they also needed to keep the rights at this time. Fox, if they didn't release a movie by 2015, they would have lost the rights to Disney again. And they did that year to Daredevil. That's why they started the TV series. Marvel had actually apparently offered them an extension on Daredevil in return for the Fantastic Four and like their characters at the time. But
no
Fox
Stan
was
Lee
like,
cameo.
Is he dead yet?
No. So actually, no. I'll give you that.
Yeah,
fun fact.
Yeah.
No.
I'm like, I noticed that because I'm like, he is in like every Marvel movie.
Declined, Gooch. He wow. did not like
I mean,
what this movie
these
was
characters
doing.
Are pretty close to him.
Well, what do you mean? Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Out of all the Marvel characters, like
they're very near and dear to his
Fantastic
heart.
Four, yeah. Spider-Man, X-Men. I would say are his.
His babies, for sure.
Right.
And he was not consulted at all on this, which he felt perturbed about, and he just did not like the direction it went, and he was like, I don't want to do a cameo.
See, I find that hard to believe. Is Stan Lee consulted on every movie?
That's what I mean. Like, that's,
no
that
way.
Part of it is M,
no
but I
way.
Think he definitely watched this and saw what they were doing and probably just saw the thing and was like, by the way.
You don't think the thing looks good?
I think he looks so bad.
I think he looks fine.
Design-wise... It's just CGI-wise, sometimes it looks fine, sometimes it looks really bad in the shot.
He's in a lot of dark.
Also, put some fucking pants on. I don't want to see his pants. Wear pants. I don't know. Where is it? That makes me think about where his dick is. You know what I mean?
I didn't think about that once.
Well, it's in my head. And if he's wearing pants, then he just has one and he wears pants. Why else wouldn't he wear pants?
You like the Thing name drop, like right at the end, too, with Johnny
What
Storm?
A fucked up way. The Thing that. It felt so out of character for him, the whole thing, too. There was nothing set up in that way at all for him.
Right.
That whole
like,
time.
That's like the Johnny Thing moment. Like,
yeah.
That's kind of what they're.
Like, we need this line. And then.
Right. Yeah. That scene is very awkward. Like,
it feels so out of place.
The big brain and, like, his neuron. Like, what?
What about the big brain and her neurons? Oh, kill me, Gooch. Stick a gun
yeah,
in my mouth and shoot me.
That's pretty bad.
And again, I said at the beginning, but Johnny walks in and you can tell they don't know what they're looking at. He's like, whoa, I call that area over there, like that nondescript area. It's just they were just told to walk into a room and be like, this is where you're going to be. Just say these lines. I don't know. It does feel like a real major disaster once you start hitting those scenes. And it is nice, like you mentioned, there's a nice handy-dandy wig on Kate Mara for every scene that she reshot, so you can really tell. At least I did. Tamira, my girlfriend, was like, she watched like half of it with me. She came back in. She's like, what the fuck is that wig? And then we go to other scenes where her hair was
like this.
It was so mismatched. It wasn't even her hair color. It was like completely different.
Totally different.
What are we doing, guys? Yeah. Again, reminded me of Fantastic Four, the first one with Jessica Alba and her wig, which, you know, at least was consistent from
scene
to
scene.
You know,
the guy who plays Franklin Storm is Savitar in Flash?
That makes sense, voice-wise.
Yeah,
I totally hear it. He's got a great voice.
Yeah, Tony Todd was Zoom.
Oh.
And then this guy did Savitar.
Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. They both got great voices.
Yeah.
Fun fact indeed. Yeah, I don't know. I thought Invisible Woman, like, Kate Mara was very for me for the most part. Like, she has a few, like, one scene with Reed. And
nobody
like,
really has much to do in this movie besides Reed.
A lot. He is the main character. For sure.
Yeah,
you feel it. He is the center point.
You like how they put he got into an accident.
Mm.
Oh, by the way, Miles Teller from the Downingtown area. So
yeah.
We're like 1 degree away from Miles Teller being on DNN.
Yeah, we'll get Corn Sweat too. So
We'll get him on and, you know, we'll talk shop.
Absolutely.
You're
welcome. We know you're watching.
Miles Teller was in some sort of motorcycle or car accident when he was younger and he has scars on his face and his younger version of him has those scars.
Yeah, they put it. Yeah, I did see that.
I thought that was kind of interesting because it's like they're not super noticeable.
No, but it adds consistency. Those are the things in movies that really matter, like that, or they're like the small things that make up the pile. And in a better movie, you wouldn't even notice almost because that's the point.
You know, young Reed Richards feels like a Peter Parker.
To a degree, yeah. And I, you know, he's supposed to be like a young prodigy.
Low
in
income, genius,
definitely
in his dad's garage or stepdad or
yeah.
You know, whatever the fuck.
By the way, shitty teacher. This kid wants to, like, do teleport. Just be like, yeah, cool. Teleportation. Do your thing, man. He's fucking, like, 8. Who cares? I don't know. Gooch, anything else on the review side?
Not really. This is, you know, another, like, hour, 40-minute movie. Where would you rate it? I think I'd put it high-tier flick.
I'm mid-tier flick, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely a flick.
It wasn't boring. It wasn't super boring for me for the most part. There were a few scenes where I was like,
I was not bored, actually. I was not bored. Rise of the Silver Surfer, I was bored very quickly.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, mid-tier flick for me, for sure.
Okay.
Let's get into some fun facts, Gooch. So the film's production was notably plagued with issues, supposedly stemming from Trank's behavior on set. He was reportedly acting erratically, isolated himself, and clashed heavily with cast and crew alike. This led to extensive studio-mandated changes after Fox became dissatisfied with the direction Trank was taking. He envisioned the final cut coming in around 2 hours and 20 minutes, but it was cut down to 100 minutes, as we know.
Yeah, you can definitely feel that.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the reshoots, I guess, makes it noticeable. And it's like, why did they reshoot this? This seems kind of integral.
Well, and there, apparently there was like three whole action scenes they cut from it. And there was a lot that they just were like, we don't like what you're doing here. Again, I feel like he was leaning into the fly and like the body horror and the more like grotesqueness a bit of it all. And they just weren't about that. Mm-hmm. I kind of get it to a degree, but, and they were also like, we need to get this out. So let's just change it up and get it out.
If this is good, this would be a much different situation.
Again, this is,
look at Snyder and Justice League and BVS a little bit. And, you know, was there a Marvel project that was reshot a lot?
I guess the Marvels wasn't. That just was like, I don't remember.
Look at situations where like there's heavy studio involvement on the project where, like, you know, for Justice League, it's super well known. If this movie was any sort of good or anyone thought it was good, I think you would have seen that backlash and be like, hey, well, they interfered so that, you know, this it is the way it is because of that. And it's like, maybe.
Well, with especially how it turned out, like, you almost are just like, well, why didn't you just let him put out what he wanted to put out and see what would have happened? Because it didn't do well regardless. So it just makes no sense. And it's just silly interference. It's the classical case of studio interference, as you talk about all the time. So there was also a report that he had trashed the rental house the studios had set up for him while filming. His two small dogs supposedly caused $100,000 worth of damage. Trank denies those rumors, calling them exaggerated. So he calls them exaggerated. So it actually happened, but who knows actually how much. As I mentioned, Stan Lee declined his cameo for obvious reasons. In a quickly deleted tweet from August 6th of 2015.
I remember this.
Yeah.
Josh Trank said, and
I quote, "A year ago, I had a fantastic version of this, and it would have received great reviews. You'll probably never see it. That's the reality, though." End quote. He quickly deleted that, but Fox, I think they estimated it lost them like $20 million, but how do you estimate that? Who knows? I'm sure. I remember when this was coming out, I feel like the idea around it wasn't super fantastic, Gooch, if you'll...
I'm trying to think, like, what was coming out. Like, this was the same year of, like, Age of Ultron, I think?
I think so. And then Man of Steel was the year after, I think.
No, right. Man of Steel, this is 2015. Man of Steel is 2013.
Is it 2 years before? Really? Why was I thinking it was... Wow.
Yeah, geez. We were in college.
Damn, that's crazy.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, Fox had to release a Fantastic Four film theatrically by the end of 2015, or else they would have lost the rights and they would have reverted back to Disney. So yeah, they were under the gun. They wanted to get this done. I mean, that's why they did the Roger Corman one back in the day too, I'm pretty sure. Oh, well, that was also like a producer's type thing that they made money off of for canceling. Josh Trank fought very hard to cast Miles Teller as Reed against studio wishes. They allowed Trank to have his pick, but wanted Mara as Sue as a compromise. This is funny because Teller and Trank would later go on to nearly get into a fist fight on set.
You know what's funny about this movie? I mean, I don't really know the actor who plays the Thing or
Jamie Bell. Yeah.
Victor Von Doom. I looked up, I'm like, what has he been in? And not much since.
Yeah.
But Kate Mara becomes like a pretty big actress after this. Miles Teller and Michael B. Jordan go on to do a lot of good things. I think this is post Whiplash.
And Jordan was friends with fucking Trank before this. I mean, he was in Chronicle, of course, so that's another reason he got cast.
I
meant to bring that up
movie.
Too. So that is one thing I want to say. You feel Chronicle. The Chronicle in this for and I think that works very well. And I can see why they would have initially been like, "Yeah, this guy could do this."
Such a well-regarded movie.
Yeah,
I remember. I would love to rewatch that.
Yeah,
Michael B. Jordan is in that, and Green Goblin.
I forget his name.
From Amazing Spider-Man. Mm. Yeah. But yeah, you feel the Chronicle all over this.
So this was another thing I found very cute and fun. Jamie Bell and Kate Mara went on to get married in 2017, The Thing and The Invisible One.
Really?
Yeah.
They met on set?
I didn't see that specifically,
but they're
married still. Yeah, they have kids
and
stuff. So good for them. I got an interesting fact for you, Gooch, that I think you're going to find interesting. You probably know this, actually. I would be surprised if you didn't.
Okay.
The poor performance of this project is directly cited as a reason for Miles Teller being dropped from the lead role in La La Land, as well as Josh Trank losing the director's chair for Disney and Lucasfilm's Boba Fett project.
No, I
he
did not
was
know this.
Cast. He was Ryan Gosling's role. And they this the poor performance of this. Literally, they were like, nah. Sorry, pal.
Dude, I mean, honestly, Ryan Gosling is great in that movie. That's so interesting. I've never heard that before.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, is that real? Really? Because I saw it in the IMDb fun facts, so I did a quick goog. Yeah, no, he was cast. And they were like, sorry, pal. I wonder if
like, you know what's funny? Like, I don't think the acting is a...
I don't think so either.
Specifically Miles Teller. I don't really think there is a problem with acting or writing in this. Like, it all... Like,
I would say the writing.
There's a few moments of the writing, but, like, I never feel like anyone's given, like, a bad performance.
I agree with that. I think, like, I think
it all
he's
feels
doing
pretty
fine.
Solid.
But I think he was young and unproven at that time. It was a major franchise, and it flopped, and they were just like, you know...
Whiplash. When was
I think that,
that
was
2014.
After.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That this was an Oscar-nominated film.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I thought that was really kind of wild. So, yeah, Doom's last name was originally Domashev.
It
when they said
Best
Homus.
Picture. Unproven. I mean, he's a main character. So Whiplash won sound mixing, supporting actor for JK, film editing, and Best Picture.
But that's his only win, and it's an Oscar one. So I think that they see, and then they were like, oh, well,
right.
he's not translating to these large franchises. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I think that's probably where their mind was. I don't think it's fair, though, obviously. But
what was the second part of that with Boba Fett?
So Josh Trank was going to direct Boba Fett, the Boba Fett movie Disney had originally announced back in the day.
Like,
and then
like
they can't.
The one of many.
Yeah, well, that was like the first round. That was when they had first gotten the license. They were like, we're doing Boba Fett. And everyone was like, oh, now yeah, we have 18.
I don't remember that.
Really? That was like when they were going to do an Obi-Wan movie too, and then they pulled it all back. Oh, ridiculous.
So let's look at... Okay. So he's in Project X, by the way.
Yeah.
I saw a scene of him. He plays himself. He's Miles Teller in Project X, and he's a lacrosse player.
Oh.
And there's a scene with him. But like, that's like his first bigger role.
Like credited.
Then
role,
we get Whiplash. He's in Divergent, a few Divergent movies, Insurgent, Fantastic Four, Allegiant after. Ugh. Then we get to War Dogs in 2016.
Famously directed by the Joker director.
And believe it or not, War Dogs to Top Gun Maverick.
That's what I was thinking.
He has some projects in there.
Yeah,
he's
but
in
nothing
some stuff.
Like,
but not, but yeah. That's crazy.
I think this genuinely did hurt him a bit. Unfortunately.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Like, and, you know,
and then he's in, like, you know, after Top Gun, Spiderhead, and The Gorge.
Yeah. And it's... The Gorge was very good. I think I mentioned that on a podcast.
Yeah, I remember,
I enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like I mentioned, Domashev was going to be Doom in this movie. They decided to change that due to some backlash. And I think also that was just studio notes being like, no, make it Doom. He's Doom. So, this version of the Fantastic Four draws heavily from Ultimate Fantastic Four, published from 2004 to 2009. In this run, a 21-year-old Reed Richards plans to teleport an apple into a parallel universe known as the End Zone.
What's the run called?
It's just called Ultimate Fantastic Four.
Okay.
So, yeah, he plans to teleport an apple into a parallel universe known as the End Zone, but Van Damme, this universe's Doom, claims Reed's calculations are wrong and changes them at the last minute. The five students are then teleported through the End Zone. When they rematerialize, they are heavily mutated and contain their powers. So that's how they get their powers. So, I mean, that is it. I mean, that's the...
I'm just looking at the art for it.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I think it was Mark Miller, right, did the line. It was obviously really huge at the time. It was apparently pretty successful.
Mark Millar, you mean?
Oh, yeah. Who did I say?
Miller?
Yeah.
You said Mark Miller.
Yeah. Thank you for the correction. Yeah. I just didn't realize, like, how much of that was based in a comic. Truly. And even they talk about the Baxter Building being the Baxter Foundation and being like this, the kind of same thing that they set it up as in the movie, and Van Damme being Doom. They changed his name from Doom to make it more realistic. So I just didn't realize.
It's fucking stupid.
It is. No, I agree.
That's so dumb.
But I just didn't realize there was any precedent at all for it in the comics. I thought this was very much an original idea from Trank. So I'll give him at least a little credit on that from drawing from a very popular, apparently, run of the Fantastic Four. So, let's get into some early draft stuff here, Gooch. Just to finish it off here. So, an early draft of the script involved the team going into the negative zone and finding a dead civilization and world upon arrival, as well as a hungry and tired Galactus.
Ugh.
He ends up taking Doom as his herald, and Doom then invades Earth for him, and then, you know, Galactus comes
in. Okay, interesting, but, like, can we do anyone else?
That's all they have. That's literally only the only persons they own, though. You know what I mean? Like, that's all they can do. They can only do they can do Doom...
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd be curious. I don't know. They can only do like Doom. They can do Galactus. You can probably look up like the characters that covered it. It was a lot of their like galactic type characters. that Fox owned at the time, but it was just kind of a certain umbrella. So they could only do these certain people.
So I'm looking, I'm like, you know, who are some main Fantastic Four villains? Not a lot.
There's like Mole Man was another one that's
Annihilus
brought up a lot.
Annihilus,
yeah.
Annihilus is such a big character, though, because, I mean, Annihilation Conquest apparently is a piece of shit. I don't think a lot of people like that run. But like Super Skrull, you know, we've never really formally gotten Super Skrull.
And they did have the Skrulls in.
Mole Man, Molecule Man, Psycho Man.
A lot of mans.
Blastar. Like, I've never heard of a lot of these. Kang. Yeah. You know, you would think like, oh, the Fantastic Four, they have some like a decent villains roster. Not really.
Right.
Everyone you know is pretty much it. Annihilus is real, the ruler of the negative zone as well.
Yeah.
Annihilus is probably the only character, and I'll say if they do another Fantastic Four movie, I would like to see a different villain. It's really time for a different villain. We've seen Doom not done right. And even in the MCU, they're really not doing Doom right.
Sure.
You know, we're not getting a normal Doom again.
Yeah. I think they can still treat him the same as long, but if it is just a variant of Tony, yeah, they're going a very different route.
Yeah.
Sorry,
I'm off track.
No, that was the last of my fun facts. I don't mind the trail off here a little bit. I think we're going to see Mole Man in Fantastic Four First Steps. I think that there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, there was a rumor, because I saw that name.
But also, he's just in like all of these key...
John Malkovich. He's playing somebody.
Yeah, I did see that he was removed from the latest credits, though, so I think he might have been cut. I don't know.
So you think he was Mole Man?
I just don't know who he was.
I heard there were rumors that he was like an older Nathaniel Richards.
Mm.
Who? Kang is who? Nathaniel Richards?
I think so.
Okay.
Let me see.
Maybe he's Franklin Richards.
Yeah, I think that sounds correct. Yeah, Kang, the Conqueror.
Real name. Yeah, it's Nathaniel. Because Nathaniel's not Reed's son.
Yeah, Nathaniel Richards.
He's from like, you know, far down the future.
Yeah, like a long relative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry.
No, you're good. But, you know, I think overall, there's some really interesting elements in this film. I see what Trank was going for. I wish the studio gave him the actual leeway he maybe needed to make the film that he wanted to make. And if it failed, at least it would have failed on those merits and not the merits of just a terrible recut that the studio put together. You can tell he was leaning into the body horror. I would have loved to see more of that, but that would have eliminated a large audience. So I kind of understand.
Yeah, it's like you're kind of asking for this movie to be like R.
No, and it would have had to be to a degree. Yeah, even if you step a little bit further, yeah, that's just where it would have to go. And, you know, I understand them not wanting to do that. I see why they probably got cold feet by the
end. Especially for a Fantastic Four movie. I'm just like...
Is that where we want to go?
Yeah. Deadpool, Punisher, Daredevil, you know, things of that nature kind of make sense. But this is where I go, like, why are you making a Fantastic Four movie R? It just seems a bit odd.
I think at the time that this was made, it would have been a good differentiator for them from Marvel.
For sure.
You know what I mean? Like, I think that there was the gambit or the berth to get in there, the available room, I should say, to sneak in there. And, you know, let's just make a very realistic, gritty, and almost, horror-ish movie take on the Fantastic Four and see what happens.
Yeah, so we had Ant-Man that year, Age of Ultron, and that's kind of it.
Wow.
It doesn't look like... there's any DC movies. I actually remember seeing Age of Ultron. That was one of the first movies we started our little Thursday night movie thing with. Yeah, that was it. Ant-Man, Ultron, Fantastic Four. That were the superhero movies that year.
Wow. It's crazy how time flies, Gooch. It really is.
Yeah.
Anything else, though?
No. This is... But the 10-year thing...
Oh, yeah, I did want to mention that. That's so odd. So when we were doing this, I was looking at the years these were released. For the last 20 years, since 2005, there's been an attempted Fantastic Four reboot. In 2005, 2015, and now in 2025. Can we not get the net and do the 2000? How was that not 2004, 2014, and 2024? Figure it the fuck out, guys. But it's just so funny to me. I'm hoping this one sticks. I'm still very excited. This rounds out... our Fantastic Four reviews.
It does. We're done.
Yeah.
The rewind we've been doing. I feel like we've been doing rewind reviews for like the entire year. I'm glad to step away and not watch a lot of movies and like you know, scale it back with how much content we've been doing.
Yeah, we wanted to get under the gun here for Superman, our little super fantastic review, if you will.
Yeah,
so
I mean we
Superman
did it.
And fantastic. We
did it.
So we got it.
Yeah,
I'm happy we did. This was a fun trip down memory lanes with some movies that I remembered more than I would have expected of, actually, which was interesting.
You know, it's funny. Like with most of this, like I didn't remember a lot.
This one I didn't remember a lot of. Yeah, for sure.
You know, you say that, and I agree with you, but I'm like, what was there to remember?
And that's the fair point. And I think that's,
you know,
just,
there's really not much here on this one. For Eve and Rise of the Silver Surfer, the Superman movies were much higher. Like, it's funny, because I feel like these rerun reviews, either there's a mix of really good and really bad. It's usually not just middling.
Yeah.
There's usually, like, some sort of variation. But I think with the Fantastic Four movies, I mean, I liked that first one, but, like, these are all pretty low on the bar.
Yeah, I had a good time with the first two. This one, I was, like,
see, I had a better time with this than Rise.
That's interesting, Gooch.
Yeah.
I just like that they... I guess I appreciated about...
Fantastic Four is definitely a worse movie.
For sure. Yeah. And I guess what I just appreciate about Silver Surfer, especially at the time that they just did the Silver Surfer. Like, they actually did him. And I was like, that kind of, honestly, in and of itself, pumps it up an echelon for some reason or another for me.
Yeah.
Like, they committed to it, like I said on the last one.
I should have asked you before this. Do we want to announce what we're doing for the next rerun review? Because we know what we're doing.
Do we? I'm forgetting already off the top of my head.
Should I say it?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Tron.
Oh, right. I didn't realize that was next. Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited. Yeah, because that's
coming
up next.
That'll be a tour, so that'll be easy.
Yeah, that'll be simple.
But yeah, we're gonna be doing Tron, the original Tron, and Tron Legacy. I cannot fucking wait.
Yeah, I'm actually excited for that. I haven't seen Tron Legacy in a while.
Ooh.
And I mean,
I think I know who we could ask for that.
I've seen Tron once, the original, and I just remember being bored out of my mind.
Twice. I don't think it's boring. It's just kind of tough to watch. Like, it's interesting.
Yeah,
like,
I think
it's very interesting.
I think from a technical aspect, it's absolutely astounding. Yeah. But I don't know. So how are we feeling? Fantastic Four: First Steps is coming out in a few
weeks. I mean,
weeks.
It's got to be the best movie. It doesn't have a high bar,
right? Yeah,
no, like it's like we're really not coming.
They're
up
committing to
crazy.
Things, which I appreciate. It seems I do like the aesthetic. I know you aren't a huge fan of the like retro futuristic or like
it's,
whatever, but
I'm just. I don't know. I'm excited to see this movie. I mean, it's a few weeks from now. Superman is less than a week away.
I'm seeing it in
Tuesday
night, Scooch. Wow.
Alone?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I don't have any. Yeah, you can still take us there if you want to see it twice.
No.
I'm like, actually happy I'm seeing it twice to be able to like really kind of.
Right.
I'm not going to give any reaction on the first night. I'm going to save it.
Yeah.
And then that way Thursday we'll go in, and then we'll talk.
I still got that one ticket.
I'll talk to Super. I mentioned it to him again on Saturday. He's terribly noncommittal. I love him, but like he's just sometimes
he's
it's tough.
Terribly
to...
noncommittal. Dude, I always I'm like, I'll get like six or eight, and then I always like it's always like one or two. I just like I'm like I gotta give this thing a fuck away.
Right. Well, when it's annoying on Fandango too, you can't just return a single ticket
out
of an order.
Our crew is interesting.
I'm excited.
Do you want me to tell you who's coming?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
So it's you, me, Chris Connor, Penza, my dad, Mandel, and. DPS, Frank.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
so I love it.
It's
that's actually a great group.
Yeah.
I'll see if I can wrangle
There's some
up
regulars,
super.
But like I think my dad has only seen one movie with us.
I love
Batman.
That he's coming. Yeah, that's really cool.
I was like, do you want to come? He's like, you got the ticket? I'm like, sure. And he's like, $29. I'm like, dude, it's IMAX.
Yeah, come on, pal.
It's like expensive.
Even like
and
a normal ticket's
and
like 20.
I bought fucking seniors, too.
Listen, hey, I will say this 1,000 times. If you don't buy senior or children tickets when you're buying tickets on Fandango.
I always get scared. I'm like, what if they know it? Like, what are they going to do?
They would literally be like, if anything, they would say, hey, this is a senior ticket. Just make sure you buy an adult ticket next time. Because, you know,
right.
like this.
Like, what are they
or
gonna,
they,
yeah.
at the absolute worst, they'd be like, can you just go, like, swap it out for an adult ticket,
oh
like, at the front?
Oh, my God. I'd be like, you got to be kidding me.
But I would just be like, are you serious? Again, I've been doing this for 10 to 15 years at this point.
I do it occasionally. If it's two, I will just get the adult. But when I'm buying eight tickets.
Yeah. It saves money, and it does save. It saves like $4 to $5 on each ticket, or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So sorry, unless they start checking me, I'm just buying. I buy children's tickets.
Hey,
usually.
My dad's a senior, so
yeah.
He bought them.
Boom. Yeah.
All right. So that about does it for this rerun review. We really appreciate you being with us. It's sort of a back to back, and you know, I'm like I was saying, happy to take a little bit of a break until we get to Tron Legacy. probably around the fall, or maybe we'll bag them at some point, but we'll definitely be releasing them before Tron Ares in October,
right,
if all goes according to plan. But if you've been watching on twitch.tv/DelconerNetwork, really appreciate your viewership. You can find this podcast anywhere podcasts are found. Just search Delconer Network, as well as youtube.com/DelconerNetwork. We're on everywhere with an at sign. You can find our social medias below in the description, as well as on our website, DelconerNetwork.com. And you can also find our Discord there, as well as our Gmail, DelconNerds@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your comments, questions, concerns, things for the good of the group. It always helps us to hear directly from you. My name is Anthony Rinogucci. That's Chris Trio. Stay nerdy, and we hope you have a fantastic day.
See you next time.